I invite you, brothers, to turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 1 through 8. If you don't have a Bible, please sit next to the Christian.
If the word of Christ dwells with you.
And already I can see the brother is, you know, getting closer to the Christian. Revelation 21, verse 1-8. Hear now the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without pain. The one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers and the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That's how we read God's word. Amen.
Amen.
We experience so much pain in this world, so much suffering. Nevertheless, life is not all about pain and suffering. Scripture teaches that pain is not permanent. Yes, it's a reality in this life, but pain is not permanent. Especially if you are a believer, at least for you and I that believe in Jesus Christ, sufferings of this world are like labor pains. They are there for a period of time, after which comes the joy of celebrating new life. Yes, we groan together with the rest of creation, but time is coming. Time is coming when the Lord shall put an end to all the pain and sufferings. In verse 6, the Lord says, It is done. There is hope for Christians. Pain is not permanent, but we shall receive without pain the full blessing of eternal life. Yes, we've got eternal life now, and yet we're still subjected to some pain and suffering. But time is coming when we shall receive the full blessing of eternal life. Our heritage, therefore, is not suffering, but the privilege to be called sons and daughters of God. The suffering of Christian is nothing compared to the glory that is yet to come. God reveals to John and says, Behold, I am making all things new. And this was of great comfort to John. Because if you know something, John did not write this book from his study room. John is not writing this book from the consistory, he's not writing from the temple in Jerusalem, but from an island called Patmos. John was not at Patmos to preach the gospel, but because he had preached the gospel, so he had, and they confined him at this island Patmos. Any tradition holds that John was exiled, John was expelled to Patmos by the ancient Roman authorities for preaching the gospel. On Patmos, the Romans confined offenders who practiced magic. On Patmos, the Romans confined those that practiced astrology, including prophecy. Prophecy, whether by pagan, Jewish, or Christian, banished at Patmos. John's prophecy was considered dangerous to the Roman political power structure and society, and so he was exiled at Patmos. Hence, John was restricted to this island called Patmos. While in exile at Patmos and under harsh conditions, John received the revelation of Jesus Christ. In his condition, harsh conditions, John received a message of comfort. Revelation is a book of great comfort from Jesus Christ himself. Not only John, but the church at large desperately needs this message of comfort. Not only John underwent some suffering or some pain in life, but you and I even today. And so the need for this message of great comfort. Revelation therefore comes to all believers, especially in times of great suffering, in times of great loss. This message comes to strengthen us. Precisely in our pericope, God says, "Behold, I am making all things new." The big question is, which things? To that effect, let us study the following theme. And you are suffering, for God is making all things new. And you are suffering, for God is making all things new. Which things? At least, I'm going to point out four things which God is making new. Number one, spiritually and morally new. Physically and bodily new. Creation is being made new. And finally, our relationship with God is also being made new. God is making all things new. Let's start with spiritually and morally new. In verse 5, it is revealed that he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, see, look, attention, I am making all things new." When God created heaven and earth, including every living thing, including Adam and Eve, God saw that everything was good. But when sin entered the world, it attracted God's judgment upon all creation. And so what we see? Decay. We see destruction. We see death and evil which had fallen upon us. Today, nature groans to be delivered from the curse. Romans 8:22. But the Lord said to John, "Write this revelation, that I, who sit on the throne, is making all things new." All things includes both visible and invisible. Things you can see with your naked eyes and things you cannot see. The whole creation has been groaning, hence the need for making all things new. All things include spiritually and morally. God is making us new. I don't know about you, But my greatest frustration as a Christian, my greatest frustration as a believer in Jesus Christ, is that I still sin. That frustrates me. Spiritually and morally, we are not yet where God wants us to be. Yes, I'm a Christian, but not all faculties of my life are pure. And that is a frustration. I'm a Christian, but not all faculties of my life are pure. And that frustrates me. I'd love to be perfect, obey the God I love, but like sheep, I'm prone to wander and disappoint the God I love. Not only I, but I want to believe even you, as a child of God, when you read the scriptures and when you see where God wants you to be spiritually, you say, but I'm not yet there. Not only am I not spiritually and morally perfect, but listen to the Apostle Paul, Romans 7:19. He says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. If you ask Paul, are you perfect yet? Are you where God wants you to be? He will tell you, not yet. It's a frustration for a child of God that you still sin. Yet you know that it goes against God. It is great encouragement, nevertheless, to know that God is making all things new. He is sanctifying me. He is sanctifying my mind, so that at the return of Jesus Christ, my Savior, I will be spiritually and morally new. New as before the fall. Child of God, you desire to perfectly love, for God is love. You desire to speak the truth, for God is truthful. But you still have times when you speak bitter words. You still have times when you bear false testimony. And if you are a Christian, that is going to frustrate you. Why is it that I have not spoken the whole truth in this situation? This is frustrating for a child of God. But be comforted. He is making all things new, including spiritually and morally new. He who sits on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. Time is coming when you and I shall be made new as before the fall. Time is coming when you and I shall speak the whole truth, when you and I shall love the God we love without any sin, with no possibility to sin against the God we love. Until then, Jesus prayed for us. Listen to what he says in John 17:17. Until then, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. It is true that Jesus' death and resurrection has sanctified us. That's very true. God has already declared us not guilty. If we believe in Jesus, we are already holy, perfect. But as long as we are still in this world, into this broken world, we are still challenged with sin. Safe to say, therefore, that the bride of Christ is not yet perfect, being sanctified, for it is still got dirty spots. Don't be discouraged, child of God. For there is good news. And the good news is that John saw the bride, the beautiful bride, spiritually and morally new, hence adorned for her groom, Jesus Christ. Behold, I'm making all things new. Yes, spiritually and morally new, but also physically, bodily new. You see, some philosophers taught that the spirit is good, the body is bad, it's evil. Others think that God is only concerned with my human spirit, and he doesn't care what I do with my body. He's not concerned with this body. Well, but the Bible teaches that God is concerned with our bodies as well. That's why he's going to renew them. You can't just do as it pleases, as your body desires. You can't just do as it pleases you. God is also concerned with your body. The body is not perfect, that's very true. More often, it goes against the spirit, hence the need to be made new. Our current bodies grow old, they are not perfect. They feel pain, they cry, and we die. In the New Jerusalem, God will give us new bodies. The Bible says there will be no more growing old. There will be no more feeling pain. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. And there will be no more crying. Because our bodies will be completely changed, transformed. The Apostle Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, listen carefully, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Our bodies are going to be transformed. Behold, I'm making all things new. Yes, spiritually and morally new, but your bodies as well are going to be made new. In the New Jerusalem, we shall be united with Christ, having a resurrection like his, with a new body which will never be broken, which will never die, which does not cry except for tears of joy. Our physical bodies are not the same from the time we were born. I want to believe that people that saw me 38 years ago, they have to see me now and say, and then that head, what is going on? Some of us now got gray hair, some like me got bowed heads, others got wrinkles and with weaknesses, you know, struggling to hear properly, and perhaps with, you know, sight problems, and so they put on glasses like our friends there. Well, that is the reality of life. We get sick and we experience all forms of pain, and eventually we die. Pain and death are a reality of this life. But listen to this message of comfort. Behold, I'm making all things new. Death is painful. And so we cry whenever we lose our loved ones. Nevertheless, be comforted that he who sits on the throne says, I am making all things new. Time is coming when our bodies will be renewed, when they will no longer be subjected to futility, but to life with God, where we don't feel pain, where we don't grow older, where we don't sin, where our bodies no longer fight against the spirit. Behold, I'm making all things new. Be encouraged that God's purpose for you and I, who believe in Jesus, will never die. To that effect, the Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away. Even if this flesh is depreciating, we don't lose heart. Our inner nature, that's what God is doing, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. In the New Testament, we find this great encouragement, especially in the book of Revelation. Behold, I'm making all things new. In the New Jerusalem, there will be no pain, no death, no growing old, no tiredness to worship God. In this life, sometimes may feel 30 minutes of listening to a sermon, that is too much. Not in the New Jerusalem. Not when God has made our bodies new. Day and night, we shall never cease to say, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Our transformed bodies will perpetually enjoy to praise and to worship God. Unlike today, when you say Bible study, 4 p.m. during the week, very few people turn up with a lot of, you know, commitments and excuses and tiredness and the many things. Not in the New Jerusalem. Behold, I'm making all things new. But not only is God making all things new spiritually and morally, making us new, bodily making us new, He is also making the whole creation new. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. God will recreate heaven and earth. He will renovate the whole universe, a kind of global rehab. Global rehab project. Anything evil, anything painful, anything cursed, anything that causes us to sin against God will be removed and taken away completely. God will take His creation back to Genesis as before the fall. In Romans 8:21, the Bible tells us that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the liberty. The creation itself will be set free. The Apostle Paul pretty much has what John is telling us in the book of Revelation. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the liberty of the glory of the children of God. It is only logical that after God has made us spiritually new, bodily new, that He would also make the creation where we shall live new as well. Remember that not only was mankind cursed, but nature was also cursed at the fall of man. When God will make everything new, He will also recreate nature, which also was cursed because of the sin of man. Indeed, a new creation is necessary for God's new people to live in. God is not only making us spiritually new and bodily new and to leave us in a broken world. He's not doing that. God wants a new people that He will make out of us to live in a new environment which fits our new and perfected spirit and body. What else is God making new? Behold, I'm making all things new. Spiritually and morally new, bodily new, the creation being made new, but also our relationship with God is going to be made new. Look at verse 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. We know that heaven is the dwelling place of God. That we know very well from the scriptures. For instance, 1 Kings 8:28, it says, behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. That we know from the scriptures. We also know that God dwells in us. That we know from the scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. So, heaven is the dwelling place of God. Yes, but God dwells in us by the presence of the Spirit. You can also think, Matthew 28, I will be with you until the end of the age. There's a sense into which the Spirit of God is among us, with us, But we are also currently away from the Lord. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 7. The Apostle Paul says, while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Here we walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning that there is a deep and painful sense in which we are away from the Lord. We do not see as we will see one day. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the promise. For they will in the future. Yes, there is a sense into which God is with us, but time is coming when we shall see Him. It's a promise. Something greater is coming for the believers. Our relationship with God will be made new. Yes, we have a relationship with Him, but it shall be made much better and perfect. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God will enable us to see Him. Remember Moses in the Old Testament? He wanted to see the glory of God, and Moses slowed down. Not yet. Slow down. So God responds to Moses, man may not see my face and live. Not yet. Until God graciously enables us to see Him, we can't. In His love and mercy, God has revealed Himself to us in His Son, who dwells in us by His Spirit. Neither can we see the Spirit, nor can we see God. Nevertheless, it is written, they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their forehead. Revelation 22, verse 4. They shall see His face. New relationship with God. Now this will be face to face with the God we love, our Father and Creator. Face to face. Dear friends, knowing there is hope to be made morally and bodily new, it should encourage us, believers, to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and obey His word, through which the Spirit of God sanctifies us. Let us watch what we do with our bodies. Christian, you can't just do whatever pleases you because God is only concerned with the spirit and not the body. That's not true. God is equally concerned with your body and spirit. Therefore, verse 7 encourages us to watch and to conquer, rather to resist sin, if indeed we are children of God. We can't just give in to all kinds of sin. Knowing that God is making all things new. Let me give you this practical example. Say you are a student and you are financially, you know, not so good, not so well. Yes, you love your studies and you want to finish your studies. But then financially, you know, things are not so good. And then you hear that someone wants to sponsor you. Someone is willing to give you everything you're lacking financially so that you can finish your studies. Are you going to say, well, yes, I'll receive that money, and just misuse it, use it for other things and waste it? Because every other student is struggling financially anyways. We are all struggling financially, so they will understand. What are you going to do knowing that now you have a donor, a sponsor, who is going to help you financially? That encourages me to study more, to be hardworking in my studies, to watch how I use my time, right? That encourages me to do the right thing. Now I have a sponsor. It's minus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 problems. Knowing what the Lord is doing. making all things new. I want to believe to a child of God, it's a great comfort to endure all kind of pain, all kind of suffering, because he who sits on the throne says, behold, I'm making all things new. Be encouraged. Watch what you do with your body. Resist and conquer sin. On the contrary, in verse 8, those who give in to a lifestyle of sin, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is their second death, scripture says. To unbelievers, pain is permanent. Oh, they suffer in this life, and at the return of Jesus Christ, they will still suffer. We said the believers, the children of God, pain is not permanent. What about unbelievers? Verse 8 tells us what will happen to them. To unbelievers, pain is permanent. They suffer with us in this present life, and they will still suffer at the return of Jesus Christ. They shall eternally suffer death in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. Double suffering. I want to ask this question. How is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? With your family and with your friends? How is it? You know, physically, if you ask people, how is your relationship? Are you in a relationship? They'll tell you, it's complicated. It's on and off. Let's just not talk about it. How is your relationship with God? I hope that spiritually you don't stay the same. It's complicated. It's on and off. Let's just not talk about it. I hope that your relationship with God is improving, is getting better. It shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't be on and off. It shouldn't be something you don't want to talk about. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, your relationship with God must get better and stronger every day. Jesus brought us peace with God, his Father, but even more so, Jesus has brought us peace with each other. For he who sits on the throne says, behold, I'm making all things new. Our relationship with God will be made perfect. In conclusion, dear friends, do you believe and obey Jesus Christ? Scripture reveals that unbelievers shall suffer the reality of pain and death, both in this life and at the return of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible reveals. Unbelievers shall suffer the reality of death and pain, both in this life and at the return of Jesus Christ. They shall eternally burn in hell. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, there is good news. Pain is not permanent. It is like labor pains. Yes, it's there, but for a period of time, after which comes the completion of our joy and the celebration of new life. We shall be made new, perfect and glorified, free from the bondage of sin. God will make us spiritually and morally pure as a flawless crystal. He will give us a new body, not growing old, not subjected to pain and futility, a new body which does not develop wrinkles, which does not need spectacles to see properly, which does not get bowed heads, a new body. He will renovate heaven and earth. He will take all futility and evil and pain out of it. He's making all things new. And he himself will dwell with us and cause us to see his face. As a result, forever and ever, we will live with pure hearts and glorious bodies on a new earth in the immediate presence and the glory of our Heavenly Father. Shall we pray? Father, we bless your name. We say thank you for this message of comfort. Yes, we see the reality of life, pain and suffering, death and decay. But you say, behold, I am making all things new. This is great comfort to us, and we pray that, Lord, we would live in anticipation to the return of Christ, and that you would prepare us. We pray that, Lord, you may continue to prepare to sanctify the bride adorned for the groom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That at his return, you will say, well, come home. We pray that in this life we would despise sin, would resist sin. We pray that in this life we would endure. Not to give in, but to endure. Knowing what you're doing in and through us. Please, God Almighty, strengthen us. Forgive us of our many sins in and through the blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us for the rest of this day, and the rest of this semester, in our various challenges, pain, and difficulties. Please, God, strengthen us. In the precious name of your dear Son, we pray. Amen.